Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. Today we're taking down part 4, where we are taking the next step, the final step, towards becoming a Gryffindor prefect. You will receive a prefect badge and be given access to prefect's bathroom. Yes! We've done it. We've become a prefect. And as a reward, we've earned our prefect badge.
Here's the thing. I've been shot at because of my beliefs. I've had to make choices. Should I have bodyguards? Should I have them armed or not? I've had people killed because of my beliefs. And because of their beliefs. And because of things that I've said. And I'm mindful of that. And I'm leading an organization that's done something very good. You might say, you know, this is an old Christian adage, which I think is very true. The brighter the light, the more the buzz.
Just a small announcement. You're pretty close to going to hell.
Right. So I think what we have is a very bright light.
We're all working together, and no one is ever punished, and no one is ever...
You'll be my slave.
Told that they're wrong or they're bad, and...
You'll be my footstool. And at my command, you lick the dog shit from my boot heel.
And I'm not used to that. I'm used to the objective being met. I'm used to having, like, strict, hard, fast deadlines and lots of fear and punishment if I don't get it right, and...
Welcome to slavery. Well, hello, and welcome back to True Crimes Podcast. It's day 6 of V-Week 2018, and we're back again with Roberta Glass to discuss Nexium. Hey, Roberta, how are you doing today?
Very well. I'm sure everybody's sick of me by now.
No, never. Never, never. So what do you think of my
that
intro?
Was a
I put together.
That was genius. I enjoyed that.
I decided to combine the Vanguard game with Prefect from Harry Potter, and yeah, I thought it fit with his quotes.
Great. Oh, that Allison Mack quote is so interesting. It's like an admission in the negative. No one is ever punished. No one is ever told they're bad. And it's exactly what we found out, that it was that there was much penance, they called it, you know, for whatever Ranieri thought was not good. They were absolutely punished. It's the most punishing cult.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. And a lot of times that does happen like that. People confess in the negative like that. You know, instead of saying, oh, it's wonderful, we always have a great time and, you know, cook together and do this together, that, instead it's, oh, no one ever punishes each other, no one ever hurts each other, you know.
Right, because nobody ever told what didn't happen. Like, yesterday, you know, yesterday I didn't have a picnic, I didn't do this. They tell you what did happen. So
right. When
people start telling you what didn't happen or what they don't know, if they're a suspect, your ears should prick up.
Exactly. All right, so today have some new – there's still more that we haven't uncovered yet. I mean, there's still so many more topics of this cult that we haven't touched upon. And I have one. I was going to put kind of, mind if I play another clip to introduce this next topic?
Great.
Okay.
craziest shit I've heard about Keith Raniere and Nexium thus far has to be that Keith Raniere supposedly, he got $65 million from the Bronfman sisters, loses it immediately, says it was Edgar Bronfman and the Jews that corrupted his investment. Who knows? He probably just took it. And because he had information that proved the Holocaust was not real or didn't happen the way the Jews said it did. And that's pretty bizarre. The hacked computer, the Bronfman's hacked computer, that's pretty bizarre too. But the absolute most bizarre thing you're ever going to hear about Keith Raniere and company is Raniere had a slew of girlfriends, of course. And this slew of girlfriends he had, there's four or five of them, he believed were reincarnations of famous Nazis. I think Goebbels, some of the very high-ranking generals and politicians around Hitler. And if he had sex with them and impregnated them, he was going to create an avatar. So he was trying to create an avatar, baby, with these reincarnations of the Nazis. And I guess stop the Jews.
So yeah, so that I thought would be interesting to talk about, the fact that Keith Raniere, aka Vanguard, told people, and they believed him, that he could see everyone's past lives. And he told people in his group who they were in their past lives. And apparently he was surrounded by Nazis. And Nancy Salzman, he told her that she was Adolf Hitler in a past life.
That's very interesting, isn't it? He's Jewish,
bizarre.
Right? Nancy Salzman, right?
I think so.
I mean, my take on that is that he's telling them that they're really evil underneath all that, deep down. That they have some evilness that they need to correct and do penance for or bring out. You know, he was very interested, like we talked about yesterday, in turning people's morals from good to bad, whatever they or just reversing them, whatever they were, whatever their deep held beliefs. You can see that in the statement that he writes. He said, he just writes about his, I think it's ESP, where he says, we look at the our morals that were put into us at an early age, the way we see it, and examine them and see if they're correct, you know, when he's talking about rational, what is it called? It's rational
inquiry.
What is this thing called?
Rational inquiry.
Yeah. I just blanked. Yeah, rational inquiry. So that's what I take from it, but it's really open to interpretation. How do you look at it?
Well, I'm reading on Frank Parlato's site, and he said that he explained to curious followers that his need to purify the world made it necessary for him to take on the bad karma of the worst people who had ever lived and make them noble, ethical human beings. So I get from that Vanguard or Raniere, he was telling them that they were Nazis because that meant that they had to stay with him and he had to purify them and make them ethical and noble again. And so, and that justified, like you said, all the penance and the abuse he would dish on them.
Right. I mean, if you're taking punishment for something you did in a past life, I mean, you could have done endless horrible things in a past life. And also, it feeds to people's ego of being important. You know, nobody is ever Joe Schmo the cobbler in their past life. They're always Napoleon.
Right.
You know? They're always someone.
Right.
So
Cleopatra.
I think it's, right, exactly. So you... So it makes you feel important, and it feeds your ego.
Well, now something else is reminding me of, and this goes back to the girls, the underage girls that he had sex with, raped, and that Gina Hutchinson, he told her that she was a reincarnated Buddhist goddess. So that, and she believed him too. It's like everybody believes this guy. You know, it's like he goes around telling them. I'm just trying to figure out why did everybody believe him? Like this guy
was very charismatic. That surprised me because you don't really get that sense when you watch him in those interviews. How charismatic he is. When he has that kind of quality of a, you know, movie star quality. You just look at him. You're just, whatever he does, you it's like interesting. You want to watch him. So I wasn't, people will believe a lot of stuff. And he always is like looking in their eyes and doing this pantomime of a concerned person, of a thinker. But there's nothing there. It's all empty. It's really kind of, he's really a person of our times, you know, like a character from this era. Like he belongs here. Like this is the era of superficiality.
I would just think people wouldn't be so gullible, but apparently, you know, because you hear about, you know, Rasputin and other, he's been compared to Rasputin or Svengali or things like that. And you would think that, you know, people would know better nowadays than to be so gullible to someone. But it seems like there may be, like you said, some sort of charisma that just you can't, I don't see it in the videos. I don't see, you know, in a picture or anything.
But he also, he really preyed on women's insecurities, a little bit about, like what we were talking about yesterday. He really got into their weight and their how he wanted them to appear, and you know, really looked into their eyes, told them who they were, what their faults were, and mostly in this culture, women are ignored. I mean, really, there's not too many men who are going to really get into, like, women's psyche and really, like, want to talk one-to-one like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying in that way?
Yeah, I guess, you know,
I'm
not your psychologist
ending,
or something, like Dr. Phil or something.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that
it's like
kind
a psychopath
intensity of interest.
Because he wants to manipulate,
just to manipulate you. It's a con man game. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised that people fell for it once he opened his mouth. It's so hollow. Everything he says is so hollow and empty. But who knows?
Yeah. But the past lives thing surprised me. You know, like I could see him claiming to be an expert and with the NLP, you know, convincing people that he was helping them improve themselves. But it just seemed like the whole. When he starts getting into claiming to be some kind of spiritual guru and knowing all their past lives and giving them an avatar baby, I'm not really clear on what he means by avatar baby. Does he mean a deity or does he mean himself coming back? Because apparently he thinks of himself as a deity. So
that's
really
a really interesting point. Yeah, that's open for interpretation. I guess we'd have to go. Maybe he'll put us on the guest list at a Metropolitan Correctional Center, and we can ask him ourselves.
You'll be overwhelmed by his charisma. Next thing you know, you'll be part
right.
of the museum. I can't let you do that. Sorry. You gotta wear a tinfoil hat or something.
Yeah, I weigh over 100 pounds, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm a candidate.
Oh, no way.
So,
me either. Oh, God.
But he also told women that they would see a blue light after they had sex with him. So, you know, this guy had ego to burn.
Now, the blue light, does that mean the blue light was emanating from him? Or you're saying that they would just see
yeah,
everything
I'm not
in a blue light?
I thought they saw a blue light, I guess. I thought just, like, around the room after sex, but maybe from him. I'm not sure.
Because I know he kept talking about his energy with them. Like, oh, if they cheated on him or slept with someone else, their energy, it would affect his energy. And he called sex like an energy exchange, right? Things like that. It was all about his energy. Yeah.
Because he's a vampire. He's a walking vampire of sucking women's creativity and energy. And children's energy, too. He was very interested in energy suckage. Very interested in that. And that is a scary, creepy part. I mean, so much of this is scary and creepy to me, but that element of it is really just scary to me, that someone would be so self-aware, knew he was doing it, and just was out to suck energy. And that's why he wanted also partners, you know, multiple partners to support his energy. And he slept, you know, very well. He, you know, slept in, was fed well, you know, all this stuff to keep him going, keep prop him up.
Well, apparently
like
there are so
kid.
Many lies. Yeah, so many lies and secrets. And, like, he claimed, like, to Kristen Snyder, he claimed to her that he never slept. He told her, I never sleep. But meanwhile, he was sleeping during the day while she was in intensives. But apparently he, like, lied about everything. He lied to the women and told them, oh, I never sleep. I'm a god, you know. But then he would sleep all day. Everybody was doing their,
hey, you gotta
their
keep
ESP
up that,
intensives.
Right, you got to keep up the appearance of specialness.
Yeah, it was all an act. It was all an act, and he manipulated it very well. But yeah, but there, people are so gullible. I guess with the calories they were eating, you're deprived that much and sleep deprived and calorie deprived. I guess you can believe anything at that point. Anyone tells you, I suppose. But I don't think he's ever done anything. Go ahead.
Also, the other women besides Alice and Mac, the other women seem like cool women to know. You know what I mean? They seem interesting, some of these women in NXIVM. So that's also very powerful, you know, the other people that you're around.
Right.
That could keep you in, too, having a community.
Yeah.
We're in a really isolated time where people, human connection is getting scarce. So
right. In-person connection, Oh, yeah, that's why people are drawn to, you know, groups like that. Yeah, it's very much a family kind of environment and everybody looking out for each other and us against the world. Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of going. All right, so do you want to hear some Keith quotes? I've got a couple of Keith discussions. Okay, here's Keith with Allison Mack. I couldn't get too many long clips, but here's a short one.
It's interesting, you know, we're born as bodies and emotions and not much cognitive facility. You know, people don't realize that there's even something called mind of other. There's a whole progression of our self-awareness. You ask a young child, and it's somewhat of an interesting scenario. There's a number of ways of presenting it, but it sort of works out too. If you're the young child and I say, okay, we take your toy and we put it in the drawer in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I'm being more complex. I'm saying it in an adult way. Now, you go outside to play, and I take your toy and put it in your room. When you come in, where will you think your toy is?
In the drawer in the kitchen.
That's an adult answer.
Okay.
The child will answer some. Of course, it won't be as complicated as a scenario. They do various ways of doing this. Will believe when you come in that you'll know it's in the room. Because your mind is my mind. You don't, when you go outside, it isn't possible that you don't know what's going on in here. So you think you will.
Yeah, so there's the convoluted conversation of Keith Raniere with Allison Mack explaining that.
Where is the toy?
That is the great question of the sages. According to Keith, now I'm explaining this in an adult way. This is, you know, a very complex way I'm explaining this, but
can you explain it the child way? Because I need the child way, because I don't understand what the heck that was.
You have to ask the great master, because I can't think of any simpler way of saying it than the way you said it. I love how he said, I take your toy and put it in the kitchen. I'm saying this in an adult complex way, you know.
In a drawer in the kitchen. Okay, it's in the drawer. But then I take it and put it in your room. Okay, it's in the room. But where is it? Okay, it's in the room now. You did two things?
Huh?
So confused.
He is.
And Allison Mack is just staring at him, just like with those. Like, I really think she doesn't listen to a word he says. It's like a Peanuts thing when he talks, and she's just like my dream lover. That's what I see in her face.
You know, you hit the nail on the head, because if you listen to the whole video of his, your mind can't help but wander. And I think that's why he's gotten away with passing off as some kind of intellectual, because he's just so effing boring when he talks, and he does it on purpose. He talks in a nice, soft way, and, oh, there's several ways I can say this, but say, for example, and I'm going to simplify this now. Like, he does all these, like, I forget the phrase for it, but he cloaks everything he says in this very low, boring way, so that your mind has wandered by the point, by the time he says something, so that you don't know what he said, and then you're like, oh, I guess it was smart because I wasn't paying attention, you know?
Right. I'm too dumb to understand it. You know, it's a really interesting Emperor's New Clothes type situation there with him. I'm too dumb to get it, even though he said nothing. He just said nothing.
And interesting, Allison, when he asked her, where's the toy, you could tell she was afraid to answer because she knew it was going to be wrong. She knew it was a trick question. So she, like, barely answered. She's like, in the kitchen? Like, she said, really soft. She was afraid to answer it. And he's like, no, that's an adult answer.
Wrong. In the bedroom? Wrong.
It's in my bedroom. Under the sheets. Come, we'll go find it.
Seeing a blue light in the bedroom. I touched it.
Oh, God. It's in my pants.
Yeah, you know, that voice, can we talk about that voice? When men have that voice, I just punch them in the face. Like that soft, I'm really not aggressive man. I'm a man totally, fully realized, and I've integrated all my aggressiveness. Oh, that voice will just make me want to punch you in the face.
Well, he just wants to bore you to death.
No, follower, I don't think. Wouldn't have gotten me. Maybe another con artist, but not that one. Oh, boy.
You want to hear another brilliant...
yes. You can play this for me all day.
One more about joy, being joy of life. Here we go.
Am I proud to be...
from this planet.
Oh, there.
Why?
I think it is the most awesome gift to exist. So to have the opportunity to have a body, to live and to grow, and to have all of these moments through which we experience joy is the most awesome, incredible experience. And this is all a gift to us. And if you enjoy your moments, how could you not be overjoyed, overgrateful to be given that opportunity?
There you go. It's another quote from the enlightened one there. So that is
right. And this wasn't his phrase. He who has the most joy wins.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, that's what he's talking about. Oh, every moment that I have the opportunity to have joy. Well, if you're I guess he's saying that he's doing what he likes, exploiting all these women and breaking the law and trafficking and all that. I mean, you think about all the stuff that, with that clip and all the stuff that's on the indictment, it's really sick. But it's kind of a thing, that live in the moment thing you've heard a million billion times too. It's a cliche, and yet coming from his mouth, it's a little chilling.
True. Yeah. Yeah. it's always, like you said, everything you said is cliche. It's just, you know, and it's there's nothing, you walk away learning nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like some sort of pep talk he's trying to give, I guess. He's trying to do some kind of positive pep talk there for his followers. But it's not very inspiring.
No. Talking loud, saying nothing. I mean, James Brown said it.
But they all talk like that. Allison Mack does the same thing. I feel so much better. I have so much joy in life. And then they all seem to do that. And actually, Catherine Oxenberg talked about that. She said at her first meeting when she signed up for NXIVM, because she took some classes, she said the first thing they do is they all line up and there's big fake smiles on their faces, all the members with their sashes. So she said you could tell it was creepy. She said it was like a row of Tom Cruises. And there's all these people just smiling, like this big smile. So it's like they force this idea of everything's joy, everything's, you know, to the members. They always have to be in the state of ecstatic joy for some reason.
Yeah, there was a really interesting, I just saw a little trailer for it, show in Australia on ex-cult members, and they asked them, why are you always smiling? And one guy laughed about it, and he said, yeah, we were always smiling because we wanted to show that the program was working and that we didn't have any doubts and that we were okay with everything to the other members, too. It was also about the other members not thinking that you were questioning, you know, the teachings, that you were fully there and this was the greatest place to be.
Right.
Interesting, right?
Yeah. So it works.
And it's a little bit of love bombing, right, too? All that smiling at Catherine Oxenberg.
Joy, yeah, like, yeah, all the joy and happy, yeah, that is love bombing.
So by meaning, like, you're the greatest and this is the greatest program, it's also a way of attracting members, too.
Yes. And did you see the picture of the sashes? I sent you a picture. Frank Report just put a new blog today. It has 150 of the top members of NXIVM listed there, and there's a picture of them in their sashes. And I always imagined their sashes were these really nice. I always thought they were going to be this nice looking, I don't know, cloth looking thing, like, you know, nice looking. But instead, they're these polyester, crappy material, and they look ridiculous.
Yeah, they really look ugly, and they're short. I always thought they would be longer. They're shorter,
yeah.
So they come to your shoulders. And he also put out a patent for them. He wanted a patent for those sashes.
For those ugly sashes? Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes.
And yes, I remember that.
Had a bunch of. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that Catherine Oxenberg called Nancy Salzman Gold Sash. She refused to call her prefect. Her nickname for her was Gold Sash. She was the Adolf Hitler, a.k.a. Nancy Salzman, was the only Gold Sash one.
Yeah, you wonder how they're going to deal with if they go to prison, someone like Keith Raniere or Nancy Salzman, who's been so treated like a king and a queen for so many years, and they're, when they just are another one of these inmates, how is that going to go down? You know, what is that going to be like?
Well, like you pointed out, I mean, they're in their element there with others. I would think they would be up to their old tricks, and they would just be trying to pull it on other prisoners.
Yeah, I think Keith Raniere that. He is in there. He is a political prisoner, and he's there because he's too effective. His ideas are too powerful for the man. So the man had to come down.
He's too controversial. Yeah.
I really believe that.
Oh, he's telling people that, I'm sure. I'm too enlightened. I threaten the government, my presence.
Yes.
That's too much of a threat to the world.
Yes, he needs armed guards to protect his dangerous mind.
Oh, God. Yep. So, all right, so we're getting to the end of this show. So we got one more day, do it one more tomorrow for Vanguard's birthday.
Oh, is that his birthday tomorrow?
Yes, August 26th. We could probably wrap it up with that.
Have you looked at his astrological chart?
I'll do it tomorrow. I can talk a little bit about it tomorrow. I have looked at it, and to be honest, I'm just like, because I don't have a birth time. But anyways, so that is it. That is the end of day 6 of V-Week 2018. So we'll see you tomorrow for Vanguard's birthday. Thanks for being on, Roberta.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Okay, have a good night. Bye.
Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery. Today we're taking down part 4, where we are taking the next step, the final step, towards becoming a Gryffindor prefect. You will receive a prefect badge and be given access to prefect's bathroom. Yes! Thank you. We've done it. We've become a prefect. And as a reward, we have earned our prefect